All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. All right, hey, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Doug Thornton, and you've been listening to the American Vindicta Show. We are going to go over some headlines in the news for today. There's a lot going on, of course, this week. We have Davos happening, and we have the World Economic Forum. We also have WHO, who attempted to gain sovereignty over the United States. From what I was told, at least 12 of the 13 amendments or articles that they were trying to do all failed. So, yay. You know, it's a little bit of a win, but they'll try it again, I'm sure. And, you know, you have to understand something. When we talk about giving over the possibility of our sovereignty to another, not even a nation, but just an organization based off of a pandemic, you know, more or less what it would come down to is that the WHO would have been able to tell the United States what it can and cannot do and what it would be responsible for during the course of a pandemic, which would mean lockdowns again. Oh, and by the way, seems like that's coming back. We'll see how much YouTube decides to ban. We're going to try and stay as PG-13 because I am recording this. It will be up on the YouTube and Rumble site. Pretty soon, we're going to start putting a bunch of stuff down on Patreon. We're going to have a bunch of training videos that I'm going to be putting on Patreon between myself and a few others who are recruited within the Wrecker Nation now to help us get this thing up and off the ground. And I just want people to know that, you know, with what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to get you, the audience, involved, you know, especially my former law enforcement and military guys. You know, we have a lot of talent, we have a lot of knowledge, a lot of life experiences that the average person doesn't. And so I feel one of the best ways to give that back is to reintroduce our knowledge that we may or may not have forgotten about, dust off the old training manuals, and let's start putting out some informational videos for people to be able to observe and, if possible, train on. And why would I want to do that? Well, because I want to be able to arm the populace with as much knowledge as possible. I can give you all the guns in the world, but if you don't know how to use them, then they're paperweights. I can give you all the cool training stuff in the world, but if you don't know how to use it, well, then you probably wasted your money. You know, one of the big things goes along with that is the whole tactical medicine realm. I have a good friend of mine who's going to be coming on the program, hopefully monthly. And he's going to be giving us some TAC Med courses. So that's going to be completely awesome and very much worth being there. The reason why it's going behind Patreon is because some of the stuff that we're going to be talking about, we don't want everyone to know. We don't want everyone and their mother to be able to get a hold of some of this information. We're not going to be going over anything classified or for official use only. We don't do that on this channel. If you want to see stupid stuff like that, go look at someone else's. But we need to be able to put out accurate information that you as a viewer can always go back and review. It can't be stolen by anybody and used on someone else's channel, which does happen quite a bit. So because of that, we're putting it behind the paid firewall, which is the Patreon. $3 a month is what you would do to start off with that, and you'd be able to have access to all these videos. Now that, we'll also have merchandise on there, and I am working with a company right now who used to make some awesome law enforcement shirts, better than Under Armour, better than a lot of the other big names that are out there. Just in my personal opinion, that's what I used to wear all the time. And we are working with them right now to get at least 100 shirts out. And, you know, I'm not going cheap. A lot of this stuff is very expensive. And so because of that, I can only make a limited quality or quantity, but it will be quality. It's not going to be, you know, a cotton t-shirt with just a print on it. This is going to be good, good material that you can sweat in, you can train in it, and you can also represent the Wrecker Nation, represent American Vindicta, let people know what it is that you really stand for. All right. That all said, let's get into some news. So just to start things off, we're not done with Ukraine. And our politicians are not done with Ukraine. Now, what I'm going to play you, play for you here is Mike Mullen, and he's going to tell us what he thinks about Russia and nuclear weapons. I think we need to understand that the deep state and all their little minions, they're not done with Russia. They're not done with Vladimir Putin. They want to keep poking that bear until eventually he strikes back. And I think what we see right now is just the calm before the storm. If these people have their way, pray that it doesn't happen. I pray that God disarms all this before any of it can take place. I don't want nuclear winter for me and my children, and neither do you. Problem is, a lot of these idiots within politics, they know not what they do. They know not what they say. A lot of them are paper tigers, like Lindsey Graham and others. They like to look tough and mean, and they like to sound hardcore. 99% of these guys never served their country. Now, and I still don't view politics as really serving your country to that same level. I don't think it should be on the same level. And for these people to be pushing any narrative that puts our young men and women, our war fighters, in harm's way unnecessarily, I have words for it that I can't use, but all I can tell you is that plenty of us veterans that were out there within the Iraq-Afghanistan wars, we remember what it felt like at times to be forgotten and to be dealing with your own personal demons from your term in the military and from your service overseas. And what this new generation of kids and professional men and women that are in the military right now, what they're going to face if we go to war with Russia is nothing compared to what we did in Iraq and Afghanistan. You just cannot compare it. I would strongly recommend that people pay attention to what's happening in Ukraine. Look at the battles that are going on that are being, for whatever reason, put on YouTube. I think YouTube just took down like 7,000 videos or channels dedicated to the war in Ukraine. And look at the damage. Look at the type of wars that are happening. Like currently right now, there is street-to-street fighting like what was happening in Mariupol. However, in certain areas within the Donbas region, now it's turned into an artillery war, lobbing artillery shells and mortar rounds at each other and sporadic small arms fire. You know, that's a warfare that's hard to fight because you don't exactly know what the rounds are impacting around. You know, if you're shooting off into the woods at another force, okay, that is what it is. But when you're lobbing these munitions into a city or into a populated area filled with civilians, well, typically by that point in time, you're going to kill a civilian before you will the enemy. So, and that's sad to see. Nobody wants to see that, but it's happening right now, and it's being forgotten. Already, I would honestly say that's being forgotten. Our Congress hadn't forgot about it. Senate hadn't forgot about it. Neither is the president, because they just sent $40 billion with a B, billion dollars to Ukraine, but they will not pull out $40 billion to help out starving families in America. Or they almost didn't even pass the bill, actually, for the baby formula, which that's interesting within itself, right? I think it was 196 Republicans voted against this bill. So what that tells me is there's something in that bill, not just baby formula, right? I wonder what it could be. I wonder if it has anything to do with the border. Most likely it does. The border is wide open. The border is out of control. It was out of control years ago when I was there working on the border. And like many of the people that work for Border Patrol and Customs, oh, God, it's a war zone. It's an absolute war zone at times. And it's a huge humanitarian crisis, consistent humanitarian crisis mission. You know, we can put up a wall, we can do all that stuff, but people are still going to try and come over that wall. People were in some areas, and then they'd fall 20 feet and break both their legs. Because, I mean, I think at one point we had like a 70-year-old woman or a 60-year-old woman who climbed up the top of one of the barriers, and she fell like, I think it was like 18, 20 feet, broke her legs. Well, now what? Well, now we're paying for that immigrant, quote, immigrant, and you're going to be paying the hospital bills. Yeah. And my God, just the amount of people that were in the hospital, probably 3/4 of the people that we took into custody went to the hospital. And who floated the bill? Well, Border Patrol did, which means it came out of tax dollars. So let's listen to, this is from thehill.com. Let me see. Mullen says U.S. should consider the possibility of Russia using a nuclear weapon. And this article is wrote by Olifamon Ocean, whatever. Former Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Mike Mullen said on Sunday that the United States officials should consider the possibility of Russia using a nuclear weapon amid its ongoing invasion of Ukraine. Quote, "It is very difficult to know what Russian President Vladimir Putin is thinking at any particular time. He's obviously spoken to this. I think we need to make sure that we consider it a possibility." The retired U.S. Navy Admiral said on ABC's This Week, adding that he hopes deterrence works. Quote, "They're the most devastating weapons ever created." Well, I think they definitely are. So we're going to play this video real quick. You're going to hear the audio on it.
And now joining me is Admiral Mike Mullen, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs. You know what happens on those submarines. You know about our nuclear arsenal. Clearly, the U.S. wants Russia and North Korea to remember what the U.S. has in its arsenal. But do you think there is a possibility that Vladimir Putin would actually use a nuclear weapon, even a small tactical nuclear weapon?
It's very difficult to know what Putin is thinking at any particular time. He's obviously spoken to this. I think we need to make sure that we consider it as a possibility, both a tactical and God forbid, you know, the strategic force that we have it there to deter both he and China and others that might get nuclear weapons. And I certainly hope that that deterrence works. They're the most devastating weapons ever created on Earth. We should remind that as the country that's actually used them in the 1940s, how devastating they are, and do everything we possibly can to make sure that they don't get used. But they are a part of Putin's arsenal. He's pretty well cornered and boxed in. So we certainly have to consider it's a possible action he can take.
He's pretty well cornered and boxed in. Well, I mean, if you really want to piss off the Russian bear, keep doing what we're doing. You know, the problem with this is that we don't give Putin an out. We have to force his hand. What do you think he's going to do? Lindsey Graham, who I have a real problem with right now, said, what, 2 or 3 times now, someone should assassinate the president of Russia, Vladimir Putin. Well, why don't you go grab your long rifle and your deuce gear and head on over there and do that for all of us, Lindsey, Mr. Sweetheart. You know, once again, it's the problem with these Billy Badass wannabe politicians. What, Lindsey Graham served in the National Guard sharpening pencils. You know, my problem with all this is, we should have a certain level of diplomacy with Russia or with any type of other, you know, first world primary power nation because within that area of Europe, they are the primary power. They are the superpower. And we should consider it because anything that we do to that nation affects all the European nations around there. So you really want to piss off our allies? Well, then continue to piss off Russia. And eventually what's going to end up happening is you're going to force France, you're going to force Germany, you're going to force all these Baltic nations and the other European nations that, you know, get a lot of their gas and heating oil from Russia. You're going to force them to either line with Russia and then remain neutral if anything happens against us, or you're going to force them to have to militarily confront Russia. And a lot of these nations, guys, they don't have the military resources needed for that. That's why we're there. That's why we provide so much stuff for them. You know, once again, here's the problem, is that we're putting the cart before the horse. We're telling Russia what it is that we expect them to do through threats from 3,000 miles away. And then at the same time, we're saying, oh, well, we may or may not work with you on oil. And then we attack their economy. Then we attack their oil reserve. Then we attack Ukraine, more or less, by sending over millions of dollars, billions. Let's just say billions of dollars of equipment. And we know there's manpower there in Ukraine. We know it. How many Americans are over there fighting in Ukraine right now? You know, I don't care if you go over there or not. Doesn't bother me at all. I personally would not go over there. You know, sorry, Ukraine, but I don't expect you to come over here if Russia started to attack us. So, you know, I think there's a lot of misinformation going on between the Russia invading Ukraine and Ukraine attacking part of its own country within the Donbas region that needs to be exposed and talked about. Not only that, but what about the Azov Battalion? Are we not going to discuss the Azov Battalion in Congress? Are we not going to bring it up? Is President Biden not going to discuss the fact that you are supporting neo-Nazis? You know, you're giving us the choice of, hey, you can support neo-Nazis, or you can support Russia, or you can just mind your own damn business and let these people solve their own problems. Now, we're going to put our foot in our mouth. And if Putin really wants to, he could then jam that foot down our throat and we're going to cough on it and die. And I say that because if these people really wanted to reach out and touch us, if Vladimir Putin really wanted to reach out and touch us, the man's not going to do it with hypersonic missiles. He's going to do it with a grid down. He's going to do it with a grid down. Mutually assured destruction comes with anything flying through the sky. But if you use proxies, if you pay proxies in different nations to include other threat actor nations like, you know, Pakistan or Iran or North Korea, China, if you pay those proxies to hit us with enough direct denial of service attacks at one time, you can overwhelm the system. The system that gets overwhelmed is the SCADA system. If you don't know what SCADA is, S-C-A-D-A, SCADA system. That is a system that's been around since the 1980s. It tells all the little bitty computers what valves to open and close, one and zero. One is open, zero is closed. So these aging computers, these aging technologies that we really have not revamped too many things for and are consistently failing. If anything, we haven't revamped it. We haven't made a new system. We're just putting duct tape on it. We're going to get attacked eventually by a grid down, and we're not going to have a remedy for it. The problem is, once again, you overwhelm the system, Cloward and Piven. You overwhelm the system. Something is going to breach its way through there. There's going to be a soft spot that will be found through cyber warfare. We can't protect everything at one time. And our infrastructure has to be protected at all times. But if you can't get into the infrastructure, then they'll get into the banks. And then they'll get into the phones. Shut down phone service. Shut down banking. They can just do something as simple as getting into Walmart, into their mainframe or whatever, finding a back hole, and they're going to supplant a virus, and then it'll be a zero-sum game. They'll ransom out Walmart, and if Walmart doesn't pay, then they'll destroy everything that Walmart has, and then you're not buying anything from Walmart for maybe a couple days or a couple weeks. Hey, that could really mess up a lot of things when people are panic buying. Could you imagine 2020 when people were panic buying for toilet paper, and then all of a sudden you can't even use your card? You can't even pay anything with cash? People start fist fighting. People start leaving with all this stuff in them. You know, just carts full of produce and toilet paper and whatever else it is that they have. Oh, yeah, it can be a problem. It can be a problem real fast. And it's a problem that the government knows about. We know about it. We monitor it. We do nothing really for it. At some point, there's really not much the government can do. You can only protect certain facilities. And I completely understand that. Been there, done that on that side of the house. You know, that's why we tell people, you are your own first responder. You're your own first responder. Have a generator. Have the ability to turn the power on your house if need be by yourself, not by an electric company. And, you know, that's not just for a grid down. That's for anything. That's for any type of major disaster. Hell, it could just be a brownout from wildfires. You know, or just when it gets too hot and these power lines, especially here in Texas, the power lines will just start to explode because it's 110, 115, 120 degrees. Can get bad real fast. All right, let's move on to something new. Hopefully YouTube doesn't kill me over this. But we're going to talk about monkeypox. They shouldn't. Everybody and their mother's talking about monkeypox right now. Isn't it funny how we go from COVID to monkeypox? Almost like it was planned out. Almost like if this was meant to happen. Almost like if Bill Gates not only predicted COVID, but he predicted also monkeypox. The new journal, this is from Michael P. Singer, .com. So this is the prophetic monkeypox simulation. First ever global monkeypox outbreak happens in each week predicted in the biosecurity simulation a year prior. Elite media outlets around the world are on red alert over the world's first ever global outbreak of monkeypox in mid-May 2022. Just 1 year after an international biosecurity conference in Munich held a simulation of a global pandemic involving an unusual strain of monkeypox. Beginning in May 2022. Now, if you look at what I'm looking at here, it talks about the various scenarios. Scenario one, and this attack was for May 15th, 2022. Monkeypox outbreak in Brinia. So 1,421 cases, 4 deaths, no international warnings or advisors. Key issues, international alert and warning systems, benefits of a need for early risk assessment. Now, once again, these are scenarios. So they're predicting things, all right? And that was for May 15th. It's already happened. That was move one. This is move two. January 10th, 2023. Here's the scenario. 83 countries affected, 70 million cases, 1.3 million deaths. Monkeypox engineered to be vaccine resistant. Engineered to be vaccine resistant. National responses, effects of early action. International supply chain challenges, key issues. Benefits of predetermined triggers for national response and international supply chain challenges. Scenario three, or what they're calling move three, May 10th, 2023. Here's a scenario. 480 million cases of monkeypox, 27 million deaths. Revelation of terror group origins, infiltration of civilian biolab. What do you think that means? Do you think, what would it be, like 9 months or more into from now to next year? Let's just go ahead and just say a year. This would be a year. That they're predicting that a terror group were the ones who actually originated with the monkeypox that was engineered to be vaccine resistant. And the infiltration of a civilian biolab. So if you look at the Rumble channel, you should go back and look at, I think it's the latest thing that I posted on Rumble. And it's the interview that Doug and Dave Intel Report with myself and my partner, Dave Hodges from thecommonsenseshow.com. Great man. We had a simulcast, and in the simulcast, we interviewed Gary Haven, and we talked about a lot of stuff that we can't talk about on YouTube. However, we did talk about the possibility of a domestic terror group within one of these universities or colleges that plays around with some of these horrifically deadly diseases and then gaining the ability to get into these level four labs and then to walk out with something. And from there, it gets sold. Just like any other good weapon, goes to the black market, gets sold immediately to the highest bidder or the first one to produce the money. And then you don't know what happens until it's released. That's scary stuff to think about. Here's the key issues for this scenario, scenario three. Biosecurity and governance of dual-use bioscience research. Biosecurity and governance of dual-use bioscience research. I really wish I knew exactly what they were talking about. If you do know what they're talking about, please put it on the comment section below. Let's get a good discussion going on about this. All right, here's scenario four. This is what they're calling their round table. So this is for December 1st, 2023. So they're already predicting that monkeypox is going to be something that'll be around for well over a year. Here's a scenario. 3.28 cases, 271 million deaths. Oh, excuse me. 3.2 billion cases of monkeypox, 271 million deaths. So almost half the world would be infected by monkeypox. Global differences and national responses contribute to significantly variable outcomes. Let me give you my thought on that. Global differences in national responses. So that means how each nation is going to respond to a very severe pandemic with a high mortality rate. You're probably going to see the lockdowns come back. In fact, if anything, we're about to read it. You're probably going to see the lockdowns come back. You're probably going to see the camps really get flung into motion. Whatever happened with COVID, all the camps, all the lockdowns, That was a precursor. It was a beta test for what happens next. Is monkeypox the real next epidemic, or is monkeypox a smokescreen, a fatal, lethal smokescreen for what's coming behind the stage curtain? Here's the key issues that they noted. International financing for pandemic preparedness. Measures to strengthen national pandemic preparedness capacity. So what all does that mean exactly? Well, more or less what that's going to mean is when you saw the lockdowns happening in Australia, Canada, you saw the camps going up in Australia, New Zealand, parts of Europe. That is most likely going to happen here in the States. Biden's already telling people and warning people that we need to take it very seriously. The CDC is already warning doctors across the country that monkeypox needs to be taken severely seriously. We'll see, folks. Monkeypox was first identified in 1958, but there's never been a global monkeypox outbreak outside of Africa until now. In the next week of the exact month predicted by the biosecurity folks in their pandemic simulation, take these guys to Vegas, I guess, and bet on them. Here, let's see. Breaking, the first confirmed case of monkeypox in the United States this year, just confirmed in a Boston individual who recently traveled to Canada. Officials said a concern rises over the spread of the infectious virus in multiple countries now. United States. Massachusetts public health officials confirm case of monkeypox. The confirmed case poses no risk to the general public. Well, don't go back and read where they're predicting that by December 1st, 2023, there'll be 3.2 billion cases. I'm sure someone is going to probably research this really well and find out more about it. Just look at all the stuff that happened with COVID. Look at all the conspiracy theories that we had that ended up being true. Look at how many human rights violations there were. Look at how we turned the nation upon each other. You're vaxxed or you're not vaxxed. You wear the mask or you don't wear the mask. If you don't wear the mask, well, you'll kill grandma. These people are out of their mind. Speaking of, it is a form of mind control. It's a very good practice of mind control. WHO convenes emergency meeting as UK cases double. It comes as the WHO convenes a meeting of monkeypox experts to discuss the worldwide outbreak. The global monkeypox outbreak occurring on the exact timeline predicted by a biosecurity simulation of a global monkeypox outbreak a year prior bears a striking resemblance to the outbreak of COVID-19 just months after Event 201. A simulation of a coronavirus pandemic almost exactly like COVID-19. Event 201 was hosted in October of 2019, just 2 months before the coronavirus was first revealed in Wuhan by the Gates Foundation, the World Economic Forum, Bloomberg, and Johns Hopkins. As with the Event 201, the participants at the monkeypox simulation have thus far been stone silent as to they're having participated in a pandemic simulation, the facts of which happened to come true in a real life just moments later or months later. One person who was present at both Event 201 and monkeypox simulation is George Fu Gao, director of the Chinese Center for Disease Control. At Event 201, Gao specifically raised the point of countering misinformation during a hypothetical coronavirus pandemic. misinformation. At Event 201, Gal was talking about this stuff right next to these people on this article's very own Avril Haines, director of the National Intelligence, technically the highest level intelligence official in the United States. So, you know, these people were already there talking about this stuff, planning it out. And then when it started to happen, nobody said anything. Real cool, interesting little story for you. In 2019, my old unit was tasked with being on the border. I'm not going to talk about where, but we're in a certain area of the border, and we were tasked with helping out the immigration courts, And this was late 2019, so it started probably, I think, like the summer of 2019, and it flowed into 2020, into the beginning year of 2020. And many of us who were rotating in and out of this deployment were getting sick, and I mean getting really sick. I think I was sick for like 2.5 weeks coming back from the border. And you get all different types of people coming from the border with all different types of illnesses because they don't have the same type of medical facilities or medicine as we do here in the United States. And it's sad to see it. It really is. And so a lot of our guys were getting sick and coming back, you know, spreading this stuff, I guess you could say, all around the country because we're stationed all around the country. I wonder if we were some of the first people to come in contact with COVID-19. Makes me wonder, because we're right there on the border. I mean, we're mixing it up with people all day long. So it's a little bit of food for thought. Here, let's get into another article real quick. Strengthening global systems to prevent and respond to a high consequence biological threats. Great. All right, so this is from NTI.org. In March 2021, NTI partnered with the Munich Security Conference to conduct a tabletop exercise on reducing high-consequence biological threats. The exercise examined gaps in national and international biosecurity and pandemic preparedness architectures, exploring opportunities to improve prevention and response capabilities for high consequence biological events. Participants included 19 senior leaders and experts from across Africa, the Americas, Asia, and Europe with decades of combined experience in public health, biotechnology industry, international security, and philanthropy. The exercise summary. This was developed in consultation with technical and policy experts. The fictional exercise scenario portrayed a deadly global pandemic involving an unusual strain of monkeypox. Now, this virus that first emerged in the fictional nation of Brinia, so this is the same stuff that we were just talking about in the other article, and spread globally over 18 months. So that's the timeline, 18 months. Ultimately, the exercise scenario revealed that the initial outbreak was caused by a terrorist attack using a pathogen engineered in a laboratory with inadequate biosafety and biosecurity provisions and weak oversight. By the end of the exercise, the fictional pandemic resulted in more than 3 billion cases and 270 million fatalities worldwide. Bill Gates also talked about a terrorist organization getting hold of monkeypox or smallpox and attacking a population with it. You see any correlation yet? Does it seem like they have to tell you what they're going to do before they do it? Not trying to be conspiratorial, just reading you what's on here. I think I think we need to understand that this is deadly serious. Which means, of course, lockdowns are coming back. Schools are going to be locked back down again. So will churches, I'm sure, and amusement parks and malls. And what about this, man? Think about this. If the lockdowns and COVID weren't bad enough in certain parts of the country, well, I mean, COVID was, you know, what people would describe a little bit worse than the flu. Imagine when it's monkeypox and people are breaking out all over and it's disgusting and it's nasty and they're bleeding from their eyes. Yeah, then you won't go outside. Then you'll obey what the government tells you. Then you'll fall in line. Then you'll take your shots. Then you'll get your mark of the beast in your hand. There are ramifications for all this. There always is. What are their key findings? These are their recommendations. Oh, if you people only knew. Weak global detection, assessment, and warning of pandemic risk. The international community needs a more robust, transparent detection, evaluation, and early warning system that can rapidly communicate actionable information about pandemic risk. Gaps in national level preparedness. National governments should improve preparedness by developing nation-level pandemic response and their plans built upon a coherent system of triggers that prompt anticipatory action, despite uncertainty and near-term cost, in other words, on a no-regrets basis. Gaps in biological research governance. The international system for governing dual-use biological research is neither prepared to meet today's security requirements, nor is it ready for significantly expanded challenges in the future. There are risk reduction needs throughout the bioscience research and development life cycle. Insufficient financing of international preparedness for pandemics. Many countries around the world lack financing to make the essential national investments in pandemic preparedness. So that was their findings. That was their four key findings. Let's listen to their four recommendations. Oh, five recommendations. Problem I always had whenever I was putting forth recommendations to government agencies on facility threats and threat reports was that typically agencies wouldn't approve it because no one ever had the authority to approve them. And we wonder what's wrong with our security. So to address these findings, the report authors developed the following recommendations. One, bolster international systems for pandemic risk assessment, warning, and investigating outbreak origins, which means the WHO should establish a graded, transparent international public health alert system. The United Nations system should establish a new mechanism for investigating high-consequence biological events of unknown origin, which we refer to as a joint assessment mechanism. More likely, that's what WHO was convening with a lot of these nations' leaders yesterday, I believe. And this is probably the stuff they're talking about. So two, develop and institute national level triggers for early proactive pandemic responses. Here we go. National governments must, not shall, not should, not recommended, must adopt a no regrets, quotation, no regrets approach to pandemic response, taking anticipatory action as opposed to reacting to mounting case counts and fatalities, which are lagging indicators. Also, to facilitate anticipatory action on a no-regrets basis, national governments should develop national-level plans that define and incorporate triggers for responding to high-consequence biological events. So triggers, that's pretty simple. That means, you know, if we get more than 5 or 10 of these cases within a region, then you deploy assets and you start with your policies for how you would respond to that. All right. So that's the trigger events, something that the government talks about quite a bit. What I want to know is this no regrets. What in the hell are no regrets? No regrets approach to pandemic response, taking anticipatory action, words are hard, as opposed to reacting to mounting counts and fatalities, which are lagging in indicators. I think what that means is the moment you have so many trigger events reach the standard that would then alert the system, hey, things have been triggered. We've had, 20 cases reported within the last 48 hours. Time to start locking down. That's probably what no regrets means. No regrets means I don't regret whenever you can't go to the hospital to see your loved ones who are dying. Means I can't regret whenever you can't go and have a child in that hospital. Well, because we're a no regrets policy right now. You can't even have birth here. Or what about when you don't have any regrets for whenever we're locking down the hospice or the nursing homes and those people can't get aid? No regrets. Whenever I lock down your suburb and you can't leave it because you've had 5 outbreaks and our threshold is 5. What does no regrets mean? How far will law enforcement take it this time? If I have to watch one more godforsaken video of a cop, sorry, cops, fellow law enforcement right here, not meaning to step on your toes, but I'm about to. If I have to watch one more video of some idiot yelling at somebody because they don't have their mask on, because they're closer than 6 feet from each other, or heaven forbid, me and my child decided to go play outside. It's a disgrace. You tarnish the badge, and then you get that good old, you're a jackbooted thug, neo-Nazi, stormtrooper, SS acting comment. Is that what you want? Is that how we're supposed to police? Are we supposed to follow the law, enforce the law, prosecute the bad guy, or are we supposed to put our boots upon the necks of the civilians that are being told what to do by politicians for things that aren't law? Which one of these is tyrannical? Which one of these is not like the other? You piss people off enough, man, they're going to start shooting at cops over it. I don't want to see that happen. But people are crazy right now in America. People are yearning for a civil war in America. I have no idea why. I mean, I have my assumptions. We need to do our best to use common sense approach. Just like with the realms of use of force, my law enforcement brothers and sisters, what would a reasonable officer do? If me and my child are outside playing because, the world sucks currently and you can't go outside, and I say, screw it, we're going to go out to the playground, we're going to play. Would a reasonable officer walk over there and say, hey, look, guys, I don't want to sound like this person, but, all this crazy stuff is going on, and instead of you being harassed by the one wrong officer, can you please, I'll escort you this way, or you can go on your own way, but can you please leave the playground? I don't want to see you get in trouble. I don't want to see you get yelled at. I don't want to see you and your child, get yelled at or embarrassed, or, you have a confrontation with another law enforcement officer who's walking around wanting to pick a fight. Where's that cop? There are those cops. I think there are more of those cops than the ones walking around trying to pick fights. The problem is the guys who don't use the common sense approach are the ones who believe what the politicians tell you. They believe what your higher-ups tell you. They have convinced many people within the realms of law enforcement, both local, state, and federal, that you're on this side, and the public is on this side, and the public are the ones that try to hurt cops. So it's a you versus them mentality already coming out of the academies. And then it gets reinforced by stuff like this. Once again, I never took an oath of allegiance to a politician. I never raised my hand and swore that I would uphold the Constitution on top of a politician's name. That's the problem, though. Politicians think that they are the law at that point. They think that everything that they do, everything that they say, should be enforceable by law enforcement. And then when it's not, they throw a temper tantrum. They throw a fit about it. But yet, whenever Antifa wants to set a freaking city on fire, and we make over 200 felonious arrests, and then the AUSA, the Assistant United States Attorney, and whatever local prosecutors or state prosecutors are working these cases, let these people go. They let domestic terrorists go. And then they go about domestically terrorizing people again. And then here we come. Oh, hey, by the way, put your mask on. Well, what about the homeless guy running around chasing people who's naked, by the way? Oh, well, we can't touch him because the politicians told us, but we can touch you. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Be that unreasonable officer whenever this country loses its mind. I know too many guys that I used to work with that are, I mean, just brilliant officers. They understand the Constitution. They understand this madness that's happening. And they know how to go about it the correct way without getting people in trouble or themselves in trouble. It's called officer discretion. And we're going to leave it at that. But you have a lot of people, man, that shouldn't be in law enforcement. And I know some of them. And they get, you know, they get a wild hair up them and they go, oh, well, the politicians told me it's time to enforce the monkeypox no regrets policy. Time to lock down everybody. Did you know you're not supposed to be driving right now? You're not supposed to be going to work. We're in a no regrets policy. Well, I'm not going to work. I'm just going to go pick up medicine. Well, you can't do that. We're in a no regrets policy. You may spread the monkeypox. Officer, I'm going to go through a drive-through. No regrets. Everything is locked down. I say stuff like this, even though it's inflammatory. I say stuff like this because it could happen. There are stupid people in this world. Both law enforcement and civilian, by the way. All right, so number three, let's listen to their third recommendation. Establish an international entity dedicated to reducing emerging biological risk associated with rapid technology advances. Oh, rapid technology advances. All right. The international community should establish an entity dedicated to reducing the risk of catastrophic events due to accidental misuse or deliberate abuse of bioscience and biotechnology. They should establish an entity. Is that an agency, a corporation, a policy, a law, artificial intelligence, tracking everything? Very loose definition, isn't it? To meaningfully reduce risk, the entity should support interventions throughout the bioscience and biotechnology research and development life cycle, from funding through execution and on to publication and commercialization. I'm fairly certain when they say through execution, they don't mean they're going to execute people. It's probably executing the process, I hope. All right, number four, what's the fourth recommendation? develop a catalytic global health security fund to accelerate pandemic preparedness and the capacity building in countries around the world. National leaders, development banks, philanthropic donors, and the private sector should establish and resource a new financing mechanism to bolster global health security and pandemic preparedness. Well, there goes your cash. There goes your cash. There goes your coin. Everything's digital. The design and operations of the fund should be catalytic, incentivizing national governments to invest in their own preparedness over the long term. Number five, establish a robust international process to tackle the challenge of supply chain resilience. The United Nations Secretary General should convene a high-level panel to develop recommendations for critical measures to bolster global supply chain resilience for medical and public health supplies. Man, I really don't like the way this sounds. Feel free to comment on everything I just said. Do you agree with the recommendations? Do you agree with their initial assessment of what is happening with monkeypox? I don't think I do. Oh, I'm not going to go over that. That's going to get me banned from YouTube. Sorry, China. Let me see. All right. FDA approves new intravenous monkeypox drug treatment from Pfizer, linked to SIGA Technologies, S-I-G-A Technologies. This is from the Gateway Pundit. Pfizer is apparently at it again, conveniently hitting another grand slam with another perfectly timed drug release for the latest viral outbreak sweeping the West, monkeypox. After hitting it out of the park with their experimental mRNA COVID vaccine, typically what would be considered a once-in-a-lifetime development that's cashing the company out to a tune of $1,000 per second, it seems that a long stretch that Pfizer would be involved in the cure for the new outbreak, but hey, they apparently pulled it off. There's actually a video of Bill Gates talking about how financially, how much money there is to be made in vaccines. Vaccines are the quickest way, and I think the most assuredest way in the world right now to make billions of dollars. You know, I really hope and I pray that the people that are involved in these processes, that they get hit with a spiritual smack in the face by God, and they get that warning in their spirit and that conviction that if they're doing something wrong, to stop it or to at least expose it. We deserve to know the truth. But most of us can't handle the truth. That's all I got for you right now. I really want you to continue to prepare accordingly, buying your food, buying water, stocking up on goods. Make sure you have some sort of cash, gold or silver on hand. Keep your gas tanks filled. That's getting really expensive. And just, you know, otherwise, stay very cautious and stay kept up on the news. Make sure you're still exercising regularly. That's probably one of the most important ways to fight off any type of infectious disease. And, you know, don't believe everything that you read. Do your own research on a lot of this stuff. But just be prepared. It's coming back. We're going to go back to lockdowns again. It's going to happen. It's going to happen probably before the midterms, and you know how that's going to go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for stopping by today. My name is Doug Thornton. You've been listening to American Vindicta. I'm out of here.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.